Praise the Lord. Amen. It's good to be in God's house tonight. Amen. Good to have Garrett in service with us tonight. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, let's turn to Luke chapter number 12. Amen. Luke chapter number 12 this evening, and down around verse number 54. When you're there, say amen. Sometimes it takes a little while for the digital phones to get there. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, come next week, we'll have Wi-Fi going again. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 12, verse number 54, and he said also to the people, when you see the cloud rise out of the west, straightway ye say, there cometh a shower, and so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, ye say, there will be heat, and it cometh to pass. Ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that ye do not discern this time? Yea, and why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right? Amen. You can be seated again tonight. Thank you for standing for the reading of God's Word, our text tonight. I want to preach to us tonight for a little while on wise thinking. Wise thinking. Jesus Christ is speaking, and he is reprimanding, correcting. He's pointing out the reality that the people know how to predict the weather. I don't know whether you realize it or not, but meteorologists really love to try to tell you what's going to happen. But most of the time, they just don't get it right. They can give you an idea, general idea. We've got a general idea that comes Saturday it's going to snow. But there's not a one of them can tell you how much it's going to snow or when it's going to start snowing. Because even though they watch it all, they just don't know what it's going to do. I mean, it's just a known fact here from what Jesus Christ was saying to those around him in that day and that hour. You can observe the sky, you can observe the conditions around you, and you can give a pretty good idea of what's coming next. We pretty well know around here that if the wind has been blowing out of the north, it's going to be cold. But when it switches around to the south, guess what? It's going to warm up. Amen. That's the discerning of the weather. That's the discerning of what's going on. And Jesus Christ said, you can predict the weather in your day and your hour, but you cannot realize what's happening right before you. Right in front of your eyes, you cannot discern the time that is upon you. And really what I want to deal with tonight is that word discernment. Discerning. Realizing, comprehending, thinking on purpose. Amen. Have you ever heard this saying? Has it ever been spoken to you, or have you ever spoken it? What were you thinking? Most of the time it's kind of said with that attitude. What were you thinking? Usually it follows a mistake. Usually it follows making a wrong decision. I mean, it comes along with the reality that you really weren't thinking. Amen. Hallelujah. But did you know that the Bible actually talks about the fact that we're supposed to think? God's given us a mind. He's given us that ability to think, to use our mind. How many realize with me tonight what happens when you're not thinking? What happens when you're not thinking being down the highway. Sometimes we're overthinking. Sometimes we're thinking on the wrong things. How many has driven past your house on your way home and you drove right by your house and about a mile down the road you realized, I just drove by my house. So you were thinking, but you were not thinking upon the thing that you needed to be thinking on. This is kind of interesting because last week, on Thursday night, I was on my way to church. And I came up to our corner, a mile up from our road, and there I saw a van drive by. Because I usually see him, he drives home and he drives into his, you know, driveway and parks in front of his house. The neighbor there, air conditioning guy, and I saw that van just drive by, just speed right by the turnoff. I've seen him come that way and turn off, and you know, I thought, wow, that's kind of strange. I wonder where he's going. And so I follow him for a mile and a half, and then all of a sudden he turns into a driveway and almost backs out in front of me. And he stops, and I kind of squeak on by him, and I just wave, and I realize at that moment, he missed his turnoff. He was thinking about something besides home, and he drove an extra before he turns on. Yeah, it's not set right. So sometimes we can think beyond our means and let our mind be occupied with things where we're not thinking on what we need to be thinking on. Verse number 57. Yourselves judge ye not what is right. Think about it. Think about what you're doing. When you're doing whatever you're doing, think about what you're doing. Wise thinking. In Matthew chapter 10, verse number 16, it says, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Wow, that's kind of scary, isn't it? Did you realize that in this world, there are those who do not like Christianity? There are those that look for things to do to Christians just to watch them squirm, just to watch them just feel uneasy. You know, you've run across that crowd that, you know, when you're there, they realize you're there, they watch their language, they watch what they say, they watch what jokes they say, you know. You've got that group, but then you've also got the other group that when you arrive, they go ahead and tell the dirty joke. When you arrive, they go ahead and use filthy language. When they arrive, they just go ahead and be derogatory towards the Lord, and they just do all kinds of things just to get under your skin. That's the time you really need to think about what you're doing. Woo, hallelujah. And do not allow the enemy to get you to think the wrong way. Amen. It's kind of like, I think it was Brother Jason preached about reaction or responding. Reaction's the wrong thing and responding is the right thing, if I remember correctly. Because responding means you've stopped what you're going to do, what you're going to say, and how you're going to act. When you react, there is no thought to it. The mouth opens and the words fly, and a lot of times you wish they could be retracted. Wise thinking is what we're talking about here tonight. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8, how many know what Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8 says? Anybody know what it says? That's the verse. Think on these things is how it closes. But what are we going to think on? Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Hallelujah. I realize we need on the news and what's going on in the world, but you better not end your day with those thoughts in your mind. You'll have bad nightmares. You'll have bad dreams. No, you need to be end your day thinking on the good things, thinking on the righteous things, thinking on the holy things. In other words, have wise thinking going on in your mind. We need information. We need to understand what's going on in the world, but what we need more is the discernment, hallelujah, to know what hour we're living in, and to make sure that we are living the way we need to be living, walking the way we need to walk, and we are talking the way we need to talk. Hallelujah. So that our light can shine in this world, and the only way that's going to happen if we have wise thinking going on in our lives. It's not something that could just pop up and be there. It's something we must purpose to be there. Because to the contrary, usually thinking is not wise. You have to purpose in your heart, in your mind, to be a wise thinker. You see, Solomon became king of Israel. And God told him he could have whatever he desired. He said, ask, and whatever you desire, I will give you. And Solomon said, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad, for who is able to judge this thy so great a people? Solomon asked for wisdom. Solomon asked God to help him know what's right and wrong. Wow. That should be our prayer. If God gave that to Solomon, do not you think that he will give it to you if ye but ask? Because Jesus said, ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock, the door shall be opened. Whatever you ask in my name, my Father will give it unto you. And so if we begin to ask God to help us become a wise thinker, do you think God will answer that prayer? Woo! Yes, he will. Hallelujah. You see, it's going to take a change on my part. I've got to ask first. I've got to want to be a wise thinker. I've got to want to change the way I think. Hallelujah. And you see, that takes purpose of heart. That takes a change of heart. That takes a renewing of the mind. That takes a right spirit. Many remember what was said about Daniel. That in him was a excellent spirit. Amen. Do you realize that that means several different things? Number one, that means he had the right mind frame about the situations of life. Number two, that means he had a right attitude about those that were around him and those in authority over him. An excellent spirit. That's why those men couldn't find anything to accuse him of, because he was a wise thinker. He thought before he spoke. He thought before he acted. He thought about everything that he did, and he lined it up with the known word of God of that day and that hour. See, how do you think? How do you make choices? How do you make decisions? A wise thinker is going to need to know God's word. That's what's going to bring about wisdom in my life. Now, in 1 John chapter number 4, verse number 1. It says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." Did you know when the Bible uses the word spirit, generally, if it is making reference to God, it is a capital S, spirit. But it can also mean a evil spirit, or it can just mean a human spirit. It can mean an attitude or a mind frame. Mm-hmm. So when John says, "Believe not every spirit," he's not necessarily talking about an evil spirit. He is talking about people. He's talking about false prophets. He's talking about men who are led by their own spirit. What they want to do. Have you ever read in the Bible where Jesus is talking to his disciples and he said, "In the last days, many shall come and say, 'I am,' and deceive many." Now, at first, when I first got saved, I thought that he was saying they're going to confess to be Christ. But under further observation and study and realization, he's saying people are going to come and say, "I'm the Savior," and they're going to deceive many. They're going to say that I'm the Christ, but they're still going to deceive people. What does that mean? That means their spirit was not of Christ. They knew who Christ was. They acknowledged who Christ was, but they had their own agenda. You see, this is what John is telling us, that we are not to believe every spirit, not to believe every mind frame, not to believe every person that says they're of God. But know that those that are of God are going to begin to confess Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. There's going to be fruit from their words that will bring forth a looking totally to Jesus and Him alone. Not their agenda, not their ways. And so we see then, wise thinking brings discernment. What is their motivation? What are they really after? Now, the Bible tells us in Corinthians that there is a gift of the Spirit that is called discerning of spirits. That is the Holy Ghost moving in a specific instance to give us understanding or insight into the individual or individuals that they don't have a right spirit. Now we've read in the Bible where our spirit will bear witness with their spirit if it's the Spirit of God. The gift of discerning of spirits is that we can see through the lines. We can see through the facade, and we realize something's not right. I've been there. I've had that happen in my life. At first, I thought it was just me. I thought I was being critical. I thought I was being negative. But I found out later on it was the Spirit of God warning me that there was a wrong spirit behind that individual. Doesn't mean they were demon-possessed. Doesn't mean that they were being led by devils. It means they had their own agenda and they were putting Jesus' name on it. Discerning of spirits. Once again, attitudes. Wise thinking. Where's your attitude? How's your attitude? What's your mind frame on change? When God begins to reveal His Word from heaven through His Bible, what's your attitude on change? What kind of spirit do you have? Now remember with me, as Jesus was going through from city to city, there was a certain city, and I don't have it in my notes, but yet there was a certain city that did not accept him. And James and John were just a little bit upset, some righteous indignation. I mean, they were ticked off. They were mad. Had rejected Jesus. They didn't want him there. They didn't accept him. They wanted him to leave. And after they left, James and John said, "Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven on them?" I mean, that would have been a righteous judgment for the rejection of Jesus Christ. There wasn't time for that. I mean, Jesus Christ even gave some woes unto these cities that he did works in, but they didn't believe. But yet, the response that Jesus gave to James and John was what? "You know not what you're of. You don't understand that the way that you're thinking isn't right." See, there we are. See, you've got to be thinking wisely. You've got to be thinking correctly. You've got to be thinking according to God's word and God's truths and God's grace. Amen. To have a right spirit. Amen. Just because you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost of God does not exempt you from having a bad attitude. Hello. We've got to understand that the Spirit of God is a gentleman and he will lead us and guide us, but he will not make us keep a right mind frame. But he will always suggest what the right mind frame is, and then God expects you to change yours. Woo! Hallelujah. There's always been misconception about being baptized in the Holy Ghost to where you don't have to struggle with all that stuff anymore. And once you get filled with the Spirit, then you just got smooth sailing. I'm sorry. You just hit the stormy waters. You just hit the battlefield. You have been now armed for warfare. Do you not think you're going to have warfare? Amen. The power of the Holy Ghost to be witnesses is not something that's automatic. It's something that I must use. Make myself available to be used by the Spirit of God. And so that's why so many times we get a wrong attitude even after we've been filled with the Spirit of God, because we don't listen to him. We still dominate our thinking ourselves. And so we got to see, we've got to have wise thinking. We've got to have discernment. We've got to have humility. Wise thinking is coupled with humility. Wise thinking is kind of the reality that I really don't know everything I really need to know. And so then I must always be looking for more of Jesus, asking to be continually filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. You see, discernment. I've got something I want to read to us tonight. Sister Pepper's bought this book, and I read the first devotion in it. And I thought, wow, this is good. And immediately I knew I needed to share this with us. Amen. The title of this is Think with Discernment. It says, there is a Persian proverb that sounds more like a tongue twister than sound advice. My high school speech teacher had us memorize it for obvious reasons. How many took speech in high school? That was one of my funnest classes, speech. Amen. It's not that I like to talk in front of people, it's just the teacher was funny. Here's that proverb. You have to listen closely, and I may need to read it twice. He who knows not, and knows not that he knows not, is a fool. Shun him. He who knows not and knows that he knows not is a child. Teach him. He who knows and knows not that he knows is asleep. Wake him up. And he who knows and knows that he knows is wise. Follow him. Amen. I want to read that to you one more time. He who knows not and knows not that he knows not is a fool. Shun him. He who knows not and knows that he knows not is a child. Teach him. He who knows and knows not that he knows is asleep. Wake him. And he who knows and knows that he knows is wise. Follow him. I can't help but think of the Apostle Paul when he made that statement, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him. That's the man I want to follow. Amen. All four types can be found on every campus, in every business, among all neighborhoods, within each church. They don't wear badges, nor do they introduce themselves accordingly. You'll never have someone walk up, shake your hand, say, hi, I'm Donald, I'm a fool. Chances are good that the last thing he will want you to discover is the deep down truth that he knows not that he knows not. Then how in the world are we to know whom to shun, to teach, or to wake, or who to follow? Discernment is the answer. Skill and accuracy in reading character. The ability to detect and identify the real truth. To see beneath the surface and correctly size up the situation. To read between the lines of the visible. Is it a valuable trait? Answer for yourself. When God told Solomon to make a wish, any wish, it would be granted, the king responded, and I read the response to you already, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad, for who is able to judge this thy so great a people? Who doesn't know about the wisdom of Solomon to this very day? Paul informs us that discernment is one characteristic that accompanies genuine spirituality. Calls it a mark of maturity. Discernment, you see, gives one a proper frame of reference, a definite line separating good and evil. It acts as an umpire in life and blows the whistle on the spurious. Is particularly a pathologist peering into a microscope. Discerning picks and chooses its dates with great care. It doesn't fall for fakes or flirt with phonies or dance with deceivers or kiss counterfeits goodnight. Talking about choosing your mate. Discernment. Come to think of it, discernment would rather relax alone at night with the good book than mess around with a gullible gang. You see, it's from the book that discernment learns to distinguish the fools from the children and the sleeping from the wise. Before you start in on that old bromide, but that doesn't sound very loving, better take another look at John's counsel. You remember John? He's the guy known for his tender love for Jesus. Yet he wrote, 1 John 4:1, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. I'll just keep reading this. I could stop and preach along here multitudes of places. In today's talk, stop believing everything you hear. Quit being so easily convinced. Be selective. Think. Discern. Undiscerning love spawns and invites more heresy than any of us are ready to believe. One of the tactics of survival when facing the flaming missiles of the evil one, those fiery darts, is to make certain we have cinched up the belt of truth rather tightly around ourselves. And what helps us do battle with the enemy also strengthens us in relationships with friends. A Christian without discernment is like a submarine in a harbor plowing full speed ahead without radar or a periscope. Or a loaded 747 trying to land in dense fog without instruments or radio. Lots of noise, a great deal of power, good intentions, until. I don't have another Persian proverb to describe the outcome, but who needs it? It happens day in, day out, with disastrous regularity. Do I hear you say you want it, but don't know where to go to find it? Well, number one, go to your knees. James chapter 1, verse 5 promises wisdom to those who ask for it. Go to the Word. Psalm 119 offers insight beyond our fondest dreams. And go to the wise. Discernment is better caught than taught. Those who have the disease are often highly contagious. This offer is good throughout life and comes with a satisfaction guarantee clause. All may apply, even those who think they know it all and know not that they know nothing. Wisdom, discernment, realizing the hour in which we live, redeeming our time wisely. Wise thinking. Could I have a piano player back here tonight? We're living in such an hour, and I was reading a little bit more information. We know the terminology mega church, but the terminology was mega change. And they began to share how that communication in America didn't really start till the late 1500s. But by the 1900s, we'd went from printing several thousand publications. By 1930, it jumped to about 400,000 publications. And then from there, it has escalated. We are living in an information society. The story said, or the information said, that at one point in time, the only places of communication were in churches, from pulpits, by pastors and preachers and teachers, communicating God's word, God's truths, and God's ways. That's where the places of communication were. It went on to say that America used to be made up of about one-third farmers. But now, there's only about 3% that are farmers. 60% are in some field of teaching. And a very small percent are in the field of industry. We're living in an hour where communication is overwhelming. So that's why we have to limit our communication from this world and make sure we're getting the communication that's not of this world. One of our great struggles in Christianity today is humanism. I can have it my way. What I think is what's right. Humanism has made too many inroads into the church and too many inroads into our lives. If you were raised in a public school, you were saturated with humanism. If you were around more people that were not believers than were believers, saturated with humanism. If you listen to the evening news, you're saturated with humanism. But what we need to be saturated with is God's word. But how many realize with this pastor, when time presses, that's one of the first things we neglect. When God's word is the first thing we need more than anything else. The psalmist David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. When I heard that scripture after I got saved, it became one of my favorite ones. Because after I got saved, that was my motto. I'm glad that I get to go to the house of God. Because that's where my God saturates me with his word and with his Holy Ghost. So I can go back out into this world and make an influence in the world instead of the world making an influence on me. That I can go back into this world and I can have wise thinking. Hallelujah. And I can begin to share the good news of Jesus Christ in the boldness of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. You see, if there's anything we need in these last days, it's wise thinking. Being wise to the tactics of the enemy. Being wise as serpents and harmless as doves. I didn't finish that scripture a while ago when I read Matthew chapter 10 verse 16. I stopped halfway through and I said, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. And I kind of stopped right there. Started talking about what's around us. But then he said, be ye therefore wise as serpents, harmless as doves. Be a wise thinker. Think with discernment. Know that the world is against you, but God is for you. And if God be for us, really, the scripture says, then who can be against us? Who's going to be the winner? Who's going to fight? Who's going to win? Who's going to stand? Hallelujah. For the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who's going to be wise about the way they think? Amen. Let's stand together here tonight. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. We're living in perilous times, but yet it's exciting times. Because if we will ask of God, he will give us wisdom. He will give us strength. He will saturate us with his word. He will saturate us with his power. He will give us all the good things of the kingdom of God. If we'll just ask and then begin to think upon those things. Hallelujah. Praise our God. Let's come around these altars tonight. And let's be wise in our thinking. Hallelujah.
Word of God,
let's realize that I need to be taught.
Like rain,
taught by the Lord. Taught in his word.
majesty.
Show me thy ways, O God,
your
that I might walk therein. Hallelujah. Lord, I want to be wise. Oh, Lord, God, I want to think
this
the way you have me to think.
Please
I want
faith, stay
Lord, to be the factor of my decisions.
In your holiness,
praise be to our God.
Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let